there, this is Pedro Crosser. Yes, you may notice that I'm changing another language for this episode. I want to try a different style to talk about my domain knowledge. I start this topic is because recently I have an interview opportunity with a global wise big pharmaceutical company. And this position is about an engineering manager. I'm thinking maybe you, the English, can let me focus and make this episode seriously. Of course, my English is not that good, so if it does not work, so I don't mind to turn it back. So today I want to first check this job with you, and also give myself a quick look back to see if it match my profile or not. There's a very interesting thing is, HR gave me assignment to test my coding skill. Maybe it's a kind of tech-oriented background checking. In this assignment, it shows a scenario about a system platform to be built with the context of the requirement details, what kind of the functionality it is going to achieve, what would be the business process, restrictions, assumptions, and how to test. So in this project folder I just downloaded, it already shows a full coding structure for this project, about the database, about the Java code to process the primary on this main process. It seems like my primary job is not going to write this code from zero, but to review this code structure, trying to find out what is doing good, what is they got some problems, got some bugs, and summarize the review result, and in the end, with my own opinions, okay, how to improve that. I think that is the total process. So, okay, let's go. First thing is, I guess got this request. I need to look back at myself if I'm really qualified to do this. So I was an engineer years ago, I think I mentioned in my previous episode. And also I managed a team, you know, formed by engineers and analysts when I was in PayPal. I can use tech language to communicate with, you know, effectively and other tech engineer-based stakeholders. I think I care more about their career paths and try my best to find the right project or right products I can assign them to deliver. So make a win-win deal. To be honest, I didn't participate in coding for many years. This project is Java-based. I think the last time I wrote Java code, it's about maybe 15 years ago. It also contains the SQL part of the code. It's about to build table schemas and the database structures. I'm more comfortable with the SQL part because in the recent years, the top, you know, the leading programming languages keep changing from here to there in different business. They're changing a lot, but it's a SQL standard. How to deal with the database is relatively constant. So I think it's about to create the table schemas. Yeah, to show the relationship of the foreign keys between each table. So I think that would be a very easy part for me to understand if this design and logic can fit the requirement. So far, the Java project part is a big challenge to me. But coding is not my advantage, I have to say. All the program language has been evolved for years. I don't think I can do as effectively as my engineering team. Well, there is a critical things that does not change too much. I think that is the software engineering mindset. For example, when we talk about the system security, the data integrity, the environment, the performance, the concurrency design, database transaction management, etc. So, no matter what language it is, I think the primary rules we need to follow, they are the same. The best practice to frame all the projects, I think they are similar. Fortunately, large language model, GPT, Gemini, Codex, Claude Code, I think plenty of tools recently we can leverage. Okay, this time I make my choice is to use Gemini client. And I think the upside of these two is that they can integrate with the IDE. I'm using VS Code. Also, Gemini client is free to use. It's Gemini 2.5 Pro, a selected language model. So they can also support 1 million tokens in the contest. I have some experience to leverage it to empower myself to build some projects. Like, let's say, previously I used it to create a program to process LinkedIn websites. I remember it used the playwright to interact with a Chrome-based browser in my local machine. But I didn't write any code at that time. I just talked to Gemini client what I'm going to build. I told Gemini client that I want to build a program to log in with my account to LinkedIn and then turn to the job page. There's a recommended job in this tab and access it. It will list 25 jobs, which LinkedIn think that it's be a perfect match. And then I want to pull this list out. Here is the tricky part. In LinkedIn, you cannot just export the job details with the titles and all the information directly. You have to click one job and then it will automatically load the job details on the other side. If I do it manually, then I have to click one job title on the left panel and it will automatically show up all details on the right panel. So then I need to manually select all the detailed content about this JD in the job description, and then pull it out to use another large language model help me to process all the details to give me a kind of a ballpark estimation and the background checking for this job and give me some suggestion that is this job a perfect match or partially match or yeah, I don't suggest that to spend 1 minute on that because it's totally a kind of trap. So instead of to process it manually one by one, I want to automate all the manual checking and the content searching, copy those process. So Gemini just did the job, yeah, in the very efficient way, finding me the best tools, plugins to use, and very quickly put things together, so you can help us download. And once we just achieved the proof of concept, this is the confirmed result. I continue ask it to help me to upgrade this progress, trying to give me the more accurate answer. Let's say if there's such a job has been viewed, which means I processed it before, so I just want to exclude them out of this list and try to click this cross button on this job to tell LinkedIn that hey, I check this job and it doesn't match. So I just want to hire this job in the future. So this kind of integration. And some job has been promoted again. Maybe I just viewed, but it's promoted again. It will reappear on the list, but I don't think we need to waste time on that. So I just tell it, okay, if this viewed and if this promoted with viewed, okay, just click the cross button. And if this job already applied, it can be ignored. We don't have to assess it again. Once I got the list, the full list of the job with the detailed description, I will manually put into another window with the Gemini Pro model to give me a deep research and the matching evaluations. I didn't directly leverage the Gemini client to process it, it's because sometimes it will automatically switch to the flash mode. It cannot be controlled by user. From the official feedback, it will depend on how much code you already been used and how is the server pressures out there, so it's automatically controlled by Gemini. I already subscribed to nearly $20 for the pro account. So on the one hand, I want to ensure the quality about the investigation and the analysis. On the other hand, I also want to audit the result manually by myself because it's about job searching. It should be very serious, right? When I have the feedback so I can evaluate the result, if just as what I think, that's fine. But if there's something can be improved, I will take the prompt instruction again. That will be another story. Okay, let's go back to this interview assignment. Gemini client to analyze a project, I think that would be a perfect job to do. So I told it about this project intention and asked it to automatically process all the files inside this project folder, and it started to work. I have to say, Gemini client did this job perfectly. Only a few minutes, it gave me the result of the code review in the very constructional and reasonable way. The format is really good in the Markdown style. We will work through the details later. I used to say, large language model is not a good programmer yet. In several iterations, code quality is not guaranteed. And most of the time, instead of modify and expand existing functions, they intend to duplicate the code block into a new one and just modify only a part of that. On the contrary, the countable programmer won't program in this way. They will consolidate all the logics in the one single place, expand the function instead of duplicate most of the same process. And also sometimes I will find the large language model cannot give a consistent coding styles, typically in one functional oriented process, it somehow add an objective oriented programming styles. Not going to follow the coding standard, so I suspect whether it has a standard or not. I guess the most possible reason is large language model is trained by millions of the ideals and the real project. So maybe they are really the best projects, but their styles are various, restrained by different standards from different groups. It will like a chef. This chef know all the recipes all over this world. Okay, where you have a really intense knowledge base. And this chef is very inspirational. Like to create a lot of new food. But now we are asking this chef only for one specific dish based on several certain sources. So let's say this sauce is kind of our requirement, our intention, our tech stack, and other writing standard. So what should we expect it? Can we trust this very inspirational chef to deliver certain things and what we expect it? Or it maybe just deliver a very horrible but creative food we don't dare to try. Even now, we may not trust this chef to give us a certain dish, but this chef can be a good one to judge a certain dish, how it was made, is good or not, how to improve it, right? Because you get a really huge knowledge base to support a plausible opinion on this food. And this time, let's go with it. Use the large language model to do this code review. Before I just give you the review result, let's work through this assignment about this challenge detail. It's about a pharma supply chain and a prescription fulfillment system. The scenario is the team is asked with building this pharma supply chain and a prescription fulfillment system for a pharmaceutical company. So this system will manage the inventory of the drug, prescriptions and pharmacies, as well as the logistic of fulfilling patient prescription. It contains several business rules and logic. The first, about the drugs part. Each drug has details such as name, manufacturer, batch number, expiry date, and stock. So here we know that each drug, they got its name and the manufacturer. I think that is the dimensions about one single drug type. The batch number means that each drug have multiple batch production, and each production should share the same expiry date and stock. So there are two different levels of the management for the drug information: the basic details and the batch details. Moving on, drugs are only dispensed if they are within their expiry date. Okay, so once we are going to dispense the drug, I suppose we need to check the stock to find how many batches are there and how about their expiry date. If they run over the expiry date, which means the stock is not usable, even it's still there. So we need to add another checking, you know, later in the fulfillment process. Okay, move on. The second one is about the pharmacies. They said the pharmacies can only dispense specific drugs they are contracted for. Okay, they gave me a new kind of element they call pharmacy. The relationship between the pharmacy and the drugs is the pharmacy can only use the drugs which are authorized to the certain pharmacy. So here we can see there is a information management for the pharmacy. Let's say the pharmacy owners, maybe address, this kind of basic dimension information is there. And also another table to maintain the pharmacy and the authorized drugs, those mapping information to see which drugs are available to a certain pharmacy. All right. Moving on, pharmacies must not dispense more than their allocated amount of specific drug. Okay, there's a new restriction in the mapping between the pharmacy and drugs. That is not only which drug they can sell, for each drug, they have a quota for this pharmacy. It implies in the following fulfillment process, the system will check, do we have enough quota for a certain pharmacy, and reduce the remaining quota after the fulfillment. Okay, moving on, it talks about prescriptions. Prescriptions include multiple drugs with a specific dosage for each drug. A prescription is valid only if all requested drugs available and within the pharmacy's allocation limits. If any requested drugs is unavailable, the prescription must fail with an appropriate error message. All right, and this part gave me a lot of information. On the top level, each prescription has its only dimension information, let's say who is the patient, maybe they get the patient ID or some kind of things, other dates. And also, it has multiple drugs, you know, available for each one prescriptions. Okay, so this is a kind of a multiple to one mapping between the drug and the prescription. Because the prescription can be only fulfilled within a certain pharmacy, so it will depend on if the pharmacy can provide the certain drugs with its required amount. The whole process needs to check all the drugs on this prescription, then check the pharmacy and the drugs, this mapping table, to make sure that the pharmacy are authorized to fulfill the drugs listed, and then check the quota about this related drugs for this pharmacy to see if this pharmacy has enough quota for this prescription. I think this is not the end point. They can need to still to check the drug stock. Go to the drug stock table to check if there are enough drugs available for this prescription requirement. And interesting thing is, a prescription cannot be partially fulfilled. That means if drug on this list is insufficient, we need to fill the whole prescription. and I'll put an error log with this prescription cannot be fulfilled because a drug is not authorized to sell in this pharmacy, or a drug is insufficient according to this pharmacy's quota, or this a drug is out of stock. Then by considering about this concurrency process, maybe several pharmacies are processing very similar prescriptions at the same time. They are all looking for their stock, if the stock is sufficient or not. Because we need to fill the whole prescription if there is one single drug is out of stock. So we need to roll back all the previously locked the amount from other available drugs. We need to decide which lock we have to use. Let's say a pessimistic lock or the optimistic lock. The complexity of these two different locks are different as well. So the decision should depend on the traffic volume for this concurrency situation. Moving on, there is a session about fulfillment. So when a prescription is fulfilled, the stock for the dispensed drugs must be updated. If stock is insufficient for any drug in the prescription, the entire prescription must fail. The failure of the prescription is just as what we expected. Also, it emphasized we have to reduce the drug stock once we updated that. I still remember each drug, they get the batch control, so batch production. The different batch production has different expiry date. So ideally, I prefer to use the batch with the shortest expiration duration. Moving on, it's about the audit log. It mentioned log each prescription's attempt. Good, because each attempt may drive to a successful or failed situation. It mentioned that in this log, we need to include the prescription ID, patient ID, pharmacy ID. Well, that's just what I expected in the different dimension tables. Drugs requested, drugs dispensed, and failure reason. Okay, so if successful, we need to show it out. If it's a failure, we also need to give the reason. All right. Another part about the API requirement. It mentioned that add a drug to the inventory, specifying its detail and stock. Okay, that makes sense. So instead, we need a drug management process. So once we are going to onboard a drug, existing drug, we can update this batch production, expiration date, and also the stock value. So yeah, and maybe there's a new drug. So we need also to maintain this drug dimension information with the batch information as well. Okay, the first one. Second one, the list of pharmacies. Okay. They can call this API. We can just retrieve all the pharmacies and their contracted drugs. Okay, they also right to sell those part. Okay, this is can get just directly get the information we built for the table in between the pharmacy and the drug. That's the relationship. Okay, third one is create a prescription. Means submit a prescription for a patient at a specific pharmacy. All right. So this is going to link the prescription, all the drugs and the details, and also for the prescription dimension details, let's say there's a patient ID. Interesting is it mentioned about a specific pharmacy, which means a certain prescription, when it's been created, is already linked to a certain pharmacy. So it may make this whole ecosystem easier. So we do not need to maintain a prescription with a pharmacy. It's a dynamic mapping relationship because it's been appointed initially. That's good. We can manage that on the prescription dimension table. So the fourth one is fulfill a prescription. It's to process the prescription and update stock level accordingly. Yeah, that is, I think, the main part of that. So get the prescription details, gets the pharmacy details, got the related drag details, put them together, process this allocation one by one. And because of the concurrency, you know, conflict, we need to make sure that if there's some failure, we can just roll back to not, you know, impact others. Once we're going to lock this record, we need to make sure the other thread can get the correct number before and after our update to the stock. Okay, this is the key part. The fifth one is about get audit log. This retrieve audit logs with filters for patient, pharmacy, and success and failure. Okay, that's I think very straightforward, because we're going to log every details in the audit log tables to record every attempt, fulfillment attempt, so we can get easy to find those record. Okay, because maybe we have a certain process to change, to update the drug. Let's say today the drug name is ABC, maybe tomorrow is DF. So in this audit log, I want to log exactly what the drug details at that time once we are fulfilling, not just to give a drug ID here, because it cannot reflect exactly what the drugs at that time is being sold. After this, the requirement document also mentioned about the candidate task. Let's say how to design this database schema and some technical requirement. It mentioned design a relational database schema to support the described user case in RESTful API using Spring Boot. All right, I think that is kind of requirement to the candidate who is going to build this project. Since the project, all the project coding files, program files already in this package. So my job is going to do a kind of code review. All right, it also mentioned about the concurrency fulfillment, partial fulfillment, audit logs. Okay, and the evaluation criteria. Okay, I need to get into that part. That is data design, integrity, constraints, relational modeling. Okay, that's already talked about. Code quality, clean, modular, and maintainable. All right, that's a very basic skill. Error handling, graceful, and informative. That's about a kind of a best practice of a coding standard. Good. The testing part, positive and negative coverage. Okay. Performance is concurrency aware implementation. Okay, I think the concurrency that I mentioned several times, that it's a key part of the design. All right, and this is the part about this assignment. So I just send the code. I not send the code, I just start the Gemini client in this project folders with this instruction and also with all the project files. And I ask Gemini to process this code. You know, as a code reviewer, just give us a very professional opinion for each part, focusing on anything may cause the problems or severe system issues in the future, or any system risks. Call them out and format the whole opinion into a structured review report. After several rounds of discussion, Gemini client gave me a final code review report. Even with code snippets, I told it to not only show me where is something wrong and how we're going to improve, just show me the original code. And if you're going to, what are you going to change? So the first session is the executive summary. It quickly summarized the problem that said the project suffered from multiple critical level vulnerabilities in security, data integrity, and performance. Okay, three parts of that. And it also gave us the opinion it is in no way ready for production environments. Okay. Also, it provides a table. They had different roles to break down the evaluation areas into security, data integrity, concurrency and performance, code quality and architecture, testing, documentation. And they get a subtotal as overall readings. And each readings for each dimension, it's from 1 to 5, when it's worst, and also call out the key issue, let's say security to get no authentication and plain text password, vulnerable dependencies. That's very interesting and really clear and straightforward. The second section is about the detailed findings. Okay, this breakdown. So they just split into the P1 and the P2 issues. The P1 is critical issues. The first one is the security. It said a complete lack of authorization. It points out in a certain method in this Java code, they only checks for the token existence and the complete ignoring the user rules and request the API pass. I think that means that any user with any valid token can call any APIs in this system. So it's, I can say that without any controls. That's indeed a security vulnerability. Okay, it also showed the code snippet there, very clear, and it's called it out. Okay, the second one is the security, this outdated core dependencies. I mentioned that this whole project is using the very old version about this Spring Boot 2.1.2 and Spring Cloud GreenWitch SR6. Okay, both of them have long passed their end of life. Okay, that's very risky. Third one is about data integrity. It said about the transaction rollback failure. It said the fulfillment method contains a giant try catch block that will swallow all exceptions, preventing the transactional annotations from their triggering rollback. That is very serious. So when the later operation fails, I think previously the complete database write, these writing actions will not be able to be rolled back. So leading a corrupted database state and the severe data inconsistency. Probably the fulfillment recorded, but the stock not updated to deduct the fulfillment amount. That will cause the incorrect stock information. The next one is about the data integrity, missing foreign key constraints. The database schema does not define any foreign key constraints between tables. Yeah, previously we mentioned about how to design this table, key dimension tables, and the relationship tables between them. By all means, the referential integrity is not guaranteed at the database level if we do not have the foreign key constraints. So it will allow in the orphaned record, that, for example, prescription pointing to a deleted patient. So that will lead a kind of a data corruption in the future. It will just increase risk and management effort in the future. The next one it mentioned, the plain text password storage. I don't believe that it stores the password directly as watcher in the database. So if the database is compromised, all user accounts will be instantly stolen. Next, it mentioned the P2 major issues. The first one is about the concurrency. The fulfillment method uses a complex menu and Redis-based distributed lock to solve the problem that is the best and most simply solved by the database itself. Okay, I think this is going to refer to using the transaction level control in the database instead of to just invite a new tech stack. It will just increase the complexity of the whole system design. Okay, I think that's a really good, you know, methodology once we're just going to design the architect of the whole system. Just try to control and reduce the tech stack we're going to use. The more tech stack we're going to use, it will bring us more uncertainty and management effort in the future. Also, it is mentioned about the disaster user info retrieval. It says it failed to store the authenticated user in a security context, forcing another thread to refetch the user from the Redis on every call. This is a very good call for the performance concern. This leads to dozens of the unnecessary network calls within a single API request. It can cause massive performance degradation. I have to say, if I examine the code manually, I probably miss this part. superficial test providing false security. Okay, unit tests heavily use mocks and only test for success written codes without verifying actual behavior or status change. I think that's a good call out, because the test suite, it fails to catch any of the P1 level bugs. It provides kind of a false sense of security. That makes sense, because they all assume that, okay, that's true, that is true. So how about that if something fails, what are going to do next? So it's not a test sufficiency. Yeah, good call out. After that, this report also shows us the detailed recommendations here. The first one is, okay, it provides a short-term one, the triage and the emergency fix. I like this kind of style. Usually, when I just manage products or the production maintenance, if there's a kind of incident or problem that happens, I always streamline the remedy in two different kind of ways. The one is the short-term workaround. How I'm going to fix that immediately to stop the bleeding. Another one is how about the long-term plan. For the long run, we need to check the root cause. Is the root cause on the program part? Let's say previously the scope is standing in a different way, and we need to correct it as a bug fix to cover the existing and expected result. Or it's a process-related problem, let's say, without proper governance or checking or approval review. So we need to change the way of working the next time. So yeah, it's really great that to see Gemini client just give us the short-term and the long-term consideration for these recommendations. Let's check the short-term. The first is to fix the transaction rollback bug. That's right, we talked about before that the try catch block is too long and they can swallow all the exceptions to prevent this transactional rollback working. So solution is to remove the try catch block, you know, entirely. It can let any runtime exceptions propagate upwards, so which will allow the Spring to correctly roll back the transaction. So business-specific exceptions should be handled gracefully if needed, but a database or unexpected error must be triggered or rolled back. This totally makes sense. Yeah, and also give the code before and after. The second suggestion is to implement real authentication, because I also mentioned that it's a fake authentication. You can blindly granted all the users all the API authority, you know, without checking their roles and responsibilities. So which means that we need to build a kind of roles and responsibility mapping table, how to manage the user access. Okay. The third one is fix the pen test password storage. Of course, there are many ways to store the encrypted information. For example, we can use the hashed value about the original password and store it into a database so that you and the database will be attacked. The actual password cannot be compromised. The fourth one is to immediately upgrade the core dependencies. Yeah, as mentioned before, those outdated framework software need to be upgraded immediately for any potential security vulnerabilities. Then moving on to the midterm refactor and harden. The first one is to refactor the concurrency logic with the pessimistic locking. Gemini client thought the manual and complex and insufficient Redis lock should be removed and instead using a simple database transaction. So we can directly leverage the database's own pessimistic locking capabilities. Just use a mapper method with select something for update. Then refactor the service method. We can just package this method in the transactional base. And first, we can do some basic validations. Let's say check the pharmacy existence and the drug existence, something. And second, we can loop through the drug list in this prescriptions. And on this part, we lock the specific inventory roles for this drug and the pharmacies. once the roll is locked, it will be very safe to check the stock. And then we can proceed and detect the stock. The last one, we create the fulfillment record. At this time, the transaction will be commit and all locks will be released in this Thingo method. I think that is very consistent, simple and clear. The last suggestion is about the implement proper security contest. As I mentioned, the user information is refreshed from the Redis every time they use. It will cause the massive performance issue. So we can just directly leverage the Spring Securities. There is a security contest holder, which is based on the thread local. So they can store the user's identity once per request. So now this is a whole report after this code review. I think Gemini did a great job to check a different kind of evaluation areas, give us a rational and a comprehensive analysis with suggestions. It may not be able to control their imagination to write code, especially after several iterations, but it is indeed a good judge trying to review and suggest on existing project basing on its deep knowledge from millions of the code bases. In the end, I almost revised nothing on this report. I think it's perfect, and a lot of things Gemini client has done really better than me. So I just submit this code review report, and we shall know that after the interview with the technical team. This is all I want to share today. I think the moral of this story is not how large language model can replace the engineering work now and then. I don't think that's plausible, but it doesn't mean that we can just ignore the large language model, their power, because if we can use it wisely, it can significantly improve our efficiency. Today's talk is a little bit boring, I have to say. If you still stay with me here, I would suggest no matter if you're an engineer or tech guy or not, if you have some ideas to create something or build something already in your mind, please do not hesitate to open Gemini or GPT or other any of the large language model and try to present what the idea you have and what you want to build. Let it help you to do some quick demos, and you will find out it can support us to verify our idea in a vivid and effective way. Even I still don't believe that the future of this world belongs to AI. But I think the future of this world belongs to the people who can leverage AI power mostly. So be one of them. Let's go with that. All right. Thank you for listening, and see you next time. Bye.